So, you know, yesterday.
What?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, you know, last week. Okay, let me start over. Take two.
All righty then. Yeah.
Last week, my microphone fell off the stand.
Uh-huh.
The stand fell over.
Hit the microphone against the wall.
Against the wall, which had happened a dozen times before, uh-huh. but this time was one too many times.
Yeah.
And my microphone stopped working.
Yeah.
It had developed a buzz, and then it developed.
It was very annoying if you listen to that show.
And then it developed a hearing impediment. So I went out and bought a new microphone.
Yeah.
Which I really like, which it's is kind exactly of like a, my old one.
It's kind of like a silver blue.
Yeah, it's a little different color. It's got two little buttons on the front, which I don't understand what they do. This one, I can switch it.
Yeah, but it was cheaper.
And it says this, and then if I can switch it back, and it says this, and I can't tell the difference.
I don't know the difference.
So,
okay.
The buttons on the front do nothing.
I hear something.
So.
Did you read the instructions?
This was the next model. Yes.
Oh, but you got a new. See how it is? See how it is? He goes and buys the next model up, and I always get the hand-me-down.
No, it wasn't the next. It's like the 100. This is the 120.
That's fine.
But this one was cheaper than that one.
Huh.
Because those were, you know, they were more expensive when I bought them.
Because they've come down in price.
Yes. You bought one and I bought one, didn't I?
No, I bought them for you for Christmas. I was very excited that I did that for you.
It was a very cool gift. Mm-hmm. It was a very cool gift. Well, so anyway, I hook it up and my new fancy microphone. Plus, I bought weights. Did you see?
Yeah, I did. I saw those.
10-pound weights.
I saw that.
I was going to make sure. I didn't get the 5-pound. I got the 10-pound weights.
He doesn't just do anything. Just
I got to
halfway
overdo it. I bought 10-pound weights and I put them on the bottom of the microphone stands.
Yeah, there'd be no tipping.
Because these microphone stands were not really made for these heavy of a mics.
Right.
So they won't tip now. In fact, you can actually pull them all the way over and boom, they go right back.
Yeah, there you go. Much better.
So there will be no more breaking of the microphones. However, yesterday I hooked them all up and we did our show and we I didn't change the settings in the GarageBand. So the entire show was evidently recorded off of the little speaker on the laptop.
Does it sound okay?
The little microphone on the laptop. I have no idea because I haven't listened to it yet.
Well,
I just,
we'll see.
I noticed that when I was playing the ending where Gracie gives the, you know, the ending there, that it wasn't coming through. And you know, it wasn't spiked. And I'm like, what is going on? And then you walk back in the room and start talking and the microphones were off and you started talking and there were lines. And I'm like, uh-oh, that's not good. Hey, just to check, I'm going to turn the microphones off. So yeah, I turn the microphones off and there's no sound coming through.
Okay.
So I don't know for a fact we're in the right place at the right time and all that kind of thing, you know?
Okay. Yay! Can we start the show?
That's not what I wanted to do. I would love to start the show. That's what I want to do. Start the show. Can we start the show?
Sure.
So on today's show, the whole story of our assorted details, and this is making Faith very uncomfortable. I had to get 20 questions after yesterday's show. Who wants to know this stuff? What are they asking? What's the question? What did you tell them? Why do they want to know this stuff? It doesn't seem like it's any of their business. None of this is your business, okay? I may have done 2 shows out of 1,000 that were your business. I have no privacy. My life is wide open. You can't steal somebody's identity if they don't have one.
Okay. Is that your plan?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, well, let's go back. Way back.
I was born
the beginning
on November 24th, 1972.
Poor black boy on the banks of the Mississippi. No?
Oh. No. No.
Not that far back. All right. Well, we will start at the umbrella fight, which we told you about on the Valentine's Day show.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So we'll start at the umbrella fight. Me and Faith met with an umbrella fight at work. If you didn't hear that show, go back and listen. I'm not going to repeat myself. And people started asking, well, how long was it from that moment to the moment you got married? Well, I said, well, it seemed like, I think we dated for about a year. But then I talked to Faith, and she's like, yeah, but we didn't start dating at the umbrella fight because we were both still married. I'm like, oh, you're right. Because that's the moment I count as we fell in love. Because mm-hmm. that was the moment I really noticed Faith mm-hmm. as, really noticed her as a person.
Right.
And in my mind, I've been in love with her since that moment. But at the time, we were both married.
Practically, it was. Yeah.
And both of our spouses at that time were being unfaithful to us.
In different ways. I don't want to smear his name.
Well, I don't want to smear her name, so we're not going to mention their names.
Okay. But people know them, and that makes me uncomfortable.
I understand that, and we're gonna pretty much leave it at that.
All right. Okay.
And listen, we're not innocent in this.
No, 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 no.
I mean, like I said.
Not comfortable with that either.
I know. I'm just saying. This is the whole story of our assorted details.
I don't know about this.
But I think both would admit that they had some part in this, that they had been unfaithful.
Yeah.
And that, and both of our marriages ended. Now, my marriage ended first. She left me. She just said, I'm out of here. See ya. And by the way, I've been being unfaithful. Well, actually, that's a longer story. But the bottom line is she told me she was gone and she left. So my marriage sort of ended on a particular day. Now, the divorce wasn't final for another 6 months or so, but the marriage was over and she was gone and there was no relationship after this certain day.
Which it was only 3 months,
kind
actually.
Kind of a clean break. It took me longer than that to get...
Nope. It was 3 months. I remember.
Wow. That's a fast divorce.
Yep.
So I thought it took longer than that anyway. Nope. Right. Yeah, I remember it was in March when they were final. And she told me in December. So mm-hmm. that's 3 months. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Okay. So anyway, so that was mine. Faith's was longer and more drawn out. Mm-hmm. Because there was a separation time, then there was
a lot of hemming and hawing.
There was a lot of, you know, can we work this out? And then there was, well, I don't want to work this out. And then there was one wanting to work it out and one didn't want to work it out. And then it was like, you know.
And then it was guilt. And then I hung around for because I felt guilty and I didn't, divorce is wrong and God hates divorce and what am I doing? Yeah. Yep.
So there was a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, while during the separation, she's also dating me, which is the guilt, which is part of the guilt, part of the fact that we're not so innocent in all this. So that was kind of going on. And so things progressed. There was the date. So back in the original story, there was the date where we went to... And I took her we went to the place where we got married, which was Lake Equipment. Mm-hmm. And there's where we read the story of the notebook together. And the story of the notebook, the movie was very sappy. But the book, I don't remember it being that sappy.
No, it wasn't.
But it wasn't really even the fact of the book.
No.
It could have been anything. The point is that, because we also did this, we did it again with Bridges of Madison County.
Which was a much better book. But the story was not.
That wasn't the point. The point is that we both liked the same parts, and it opened up trains of conversation, and it, you know, really just made us see into each other's soul in a way that, you know, that was mm-hmm. incredible and earth moving and life altering. And it was through that first experience, that one day we read the whole book in one day. She'd already read the book. She was rereading it with me.
I had read it twice, actually.
Wow. Okay. So she was rereading it with me, and then we bonded through that. And then we read Bridges of Madison County. And I don't mean we read Bridges of Madison County. I mean, we read it, and there was highlight and bookmarked pages and notes in the margin.
I don't recommend Bridges of Madison County.
Very racy.
Is
not a very moral book.
No. And So I even hate bringing it up because it's just not.
But you have to understand, we were not where we are now.
We're
not where we are now. Okay, we weren't. We didn't know we were going to be Brad and Faith of the two blind squirrels at the top.
We didn't know that the Lord was going to come down and change our lives.
Lord was in the middle of changing our lives at the time.
Well, he was.
But
was in this, yes.
We were still on our journey mm-hmm. back to him. But so that said, it was through those books that we investigated each other. It was through those books and those writings that we investigated each other's attitudes, opinions, thoughts, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so we'd read these books and we'd stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning talking about them on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And try to get up and go to work the next day. It was impossible. And So Faith's life was that she'd come home from work, she would go to counseling where she would meet her husband, and they would talk about getting their marriage back together. Then she would leave there and come get on the phone with me and talk till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, Lord.
This show may never air.
Just listen.
There's no secret there. He knew that was happening.
No, he did, but he didn't want to know what was happening.
Well, I know he knew it happened because he called me and told me he knew it was happening.
Well, see, when I was in college and I met him, I was in a place that just, I got married for the wrong reasons.
I agree.
And just very immature and
well, you don't have to go all the way back.
I'm not, but the whole thing was just, it started wrong and it ended wrong.
And it was wrong in between.
It was wrong in between. And
my marriage was the same way.
And so anyway, I know that God used the trials that both of us had going through those relationships and
he definitely used them. He's used the lessons there so mm-hmm. many times. I mean,
the humbling that did, because I grew up in a home where things were just, it was this way or it was that way, and that was the end of it. Mm-hmm. There was no in between. There was mm-hmm. no middle ground. There was black or white, and that was that. And mm-hmm. there was. And divorce was wrong.
Well, divorce wasn't even considered.
Drinking was wrong. And there were lots of things you did not have sex before marriage, and all those things were very, very clear to me. And sorry, am I bugging you with the pen?
You drive me crazy with the pen.
And so I'll do this instead.
Oh. She's so nervous. Do you need a little plush toy to squeeze?
I do. So anyway, I think God used that to show, to break me and to show me that I was not in control and that he mm-hmm. was in control mm-hmm. and that he needed to be Lord of my life and that I needed to understand what grace and mercy was, because I didn't understand it.
Right.
I didn't understand the grace and the mercy that he gave me. I guess I thought I was good enough.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I had done what I should do, and I didn't realize that it wasn't anything to do with me, and that I was worthless, and that I was dirty and sinful, and I didn't think I was before. And I think, I know that I had to go through that. And the Lord has shown me that process to bring me to a place of brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, this isn't going to work. I mean, the other shoe's going to fall. When is this? When are Brad and I going to fall apart? How can a relationship started on, you know, on lies work out? Mm-hmm. How can that happen? I don't understand. And God God worked in us and showed us the blessing.
And I think I mentioned this on the Valentine's Day show, but my situation was a little different in that I got married for the wrong reasons, which is that part was the same. But I tried to love my first wife, and I thought by sheer will,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were in love, you know, and you know, nobody could love anybody more than I'm loving this person. And through self-sacrifice, through utter submission, through, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it took, this was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I said, you know, and towards the end, I said, man, if this doesn't work, I'm never, ever getting married again, because nobody could try harder than I did. And mm-hmm. I certainly don't want to try harder than I've tried.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God used it to show me, like, it ain't about you, man.
Right.
It ain't about how hard you try. It's just about It's about love. Mm-hmm. And he showed me a whole new world of love that I had never felt before, that I didn't know was there. Mm-hmm. Even though I'd seen all the movies and I'd read all those, I don't know if I read all those books, but I had seen a lot of love movies. And
but even so, that wasn't even the kind of love he was talking about.
But no. Yes, what I'm saying is that there was, I didn't realize it was another kind of love. Mm-hmm. And so when I realized it was another kind of love, it was easier to believe that there was a third kind of love that I didn't know.
Right.
And that, you know what? God loves me in a whole other way. You know, I started to see God doesn't love me the way I love my first wife. God loves me in the way he loves me, mm-hmm. which is even more or even different than the way I'm loving Faith. Mm-hmm. And he, so I began to investigate that relationship and find out, well, what kind of love is that he has for me? And it is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredible and different and never ending mystery of where you can explore and go and just, you know, fascinating. And it's the kind of relationship that you never get tired of.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, whew. And so that's what he taught me through that experience. Mm-hmm. And he taught you the other thing through that experience. Mm-hmm. And so through both of us, he worked it through. And then one of the first things that gave me peace was when we first moved back to Silver Springs and we were still kind of waiting for this thing to fall apart, I think. And I was getting really scared because we were having a baby. And we went to church and Sunday school. And one of the first things that happened, we went to Sherry Kolbicki's class. I still remember it. And she taught us a story of David and Saul, or Saul and David.
Saul and David, yeah.
And how Israel wanted a king and how they, you know, basically got a king, you know, they said.
He said, you want a king? You know, I'll give you a king.
Here you go. Here's a king. But the way she put it was, you know, it was just perfect. It's like, so Saul was my first wife. Mm-hmm. And David is Faith. You know, mm-hmm. I had to go through that mm-hmm. to understand what he really had in store for me.
What his perfect.
Because of my stubbornness. And, you know, I had to, so it wasn't mm-hmm. like, this was his original plan, which is, you know, all this in my head trying to figure out, well, this can't be his plan.
Right.
Because I'm divorced now and I'm not in his plan anymore and all this. So mm-hmm. it just showed me that, no, this wasn't his original plan. This is what he's just done to fix it. Mm-hmm. And all I have to do is trust him, not Faith.
Right.
And it's so hard because your name is the word.
But I had to trust. I had to have my own faith. And we grew, and we both just dove back into the Word. And
our relationship is based on our love for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's an outpouring. You know, when you're loving each other with the overflow of how the Lord loves you, mm-hmm. instead of trying to give 100% to a relationship,
right.
If you're just loving with the overflow of the Lord,
yeah,
you got it made, man. Mm-hmm. You can't fail.
Well, you know, it's interesting. we watched Fireproof again last night with my mom and dad, and they both just loved it. My dad stayed up so late, which is
almost midnight.
Which I mean, he falls asleep at like eight. So that was a big deal for him. But anyway, they both really really liked it, and it reminded me again of as it goes through the love dare, and you know, you need to depend on me. The Lord and mm-hmm. a relationship with me and learn my love and you will understand how to love your spouse. And, mm-hmm. and it becomes it, you know, if you love the way that, you know, God, if you allow God to love through you,
yes,
it's perfect. Then
I don't say it's easy. It's just, I don't want to say it's effortless. It's just completely different. Mm-hmm.
It's those just things completely that different. That would have made Brad take his fist and want to stick it through the wall.
Yes.
Now and now he would, you know, he would go, okay.
Like last night at supper. okay.
You know, just I don't know. There's something. Just something about it. The Lord just works on us. And and I see that progression and that if he would not have brought me through that, I would not have an empathy for, I mean, I struggle having empathy for other people as it is. Mm-hmm. It's just part of my nature to struggle with that. But see, you know, you did
it. I did it.
So this, I think, this took me to a place where I could see mm-hmm. other people's struggles and realize, you know, you're not just some big loser because you could make a marriage work, you know, because really was my perspective before, mm-hmm. you know, what do you not, you can't figure it out, you know, mm-hmm. what kind of, you know, yep. right, so it was very humbling. Max Lucado in his book, In the Grip of Grace, mm-hmm. had a big impact on me, and just digging into the scriptures and learning to understand that I'm not perfect.
so let's finish. We'll just wrap this up. Oh. We'll finish in, this has been great, but let's wrap this up with, kind of finishing up the story.
Oh, okay.
Kind of wrapping the story.
Well,
up.
So it was like 3 years. My divorce was final in, March, right? Yeah. March. Like and that. We got married at the end of May. Mine was two. March of 2000. And we got married in May of 2000. And, I hadn't lived with him in a year from that time.
Right.
I mean, not that that matters. But.
Matters, but like I said, they were separated. But any other details that we haven't, that people asked about or could wonder about? Did we fill in all the holes? We didn't have cell phones. So I had a CB in my truck. Now I'm in the South, okay, but I'm not a big CB talker.
No, he was not. No,
I just had a CB in my truck. It's just growing up, you had a truck, you put a CB in it.
Because he lived on a farm,
and we didn't have cell phones. Right. That's what you did.
Yeah, you had to communicate.
And so I don't know, but anyway, I had a CB in my truck, so I bought her a little handheld CB.
Yeah,
a little 40-channel handheld thing, and we would talk to each other.
Yep.
Because we worked in the same building, and we would
follow each other
to the
wherever we were going,
Sonic,
and we
or
would
home or whatever, and we would talk to each other, and then
till we got cell phones in like 98, I guess, was our first.
Yeah,
that was the first. You had one before that.
My first
little cell phone was a 98.
But still, even when we got cell phones, we couldn't talk on them. I mean, because
because back then you didn't have unlimited minutes. You had to be careful.
So we still used the CBs, and it was crazy. Anyway, and so yeah, we dated like that, and I don't have really any like incredibly interesting stories like Dave and Jen where they pee on each other and weird stuff like
Ew.
That. That was their honeymoon story. It was bad. It was really bad.
But we have really good stories, but we won't tell you about
them.
We can't.
We don't have any stories we can tell. We don't have any stories we can tell.
Too much information.
Yeah.
We did go dancing with a bunch of friends, remember?
Now, your friends, when we first got serious, I think we were pretty much engaged at that point, or were we married by then?
I don't remember anyway. Are my friends came to visit? Is that what you're talking about?
No, we weren't married because you were living in that apartment over there.
Yeah, and they all came and stayed with me.
So we were
yeah.
just engaged, I guess, or serious dating anyway. And they came because we were engaged pretty much before divorce was final. I mean, yeah. I didn't give her the ring until after the divorce was final. In fact, I didn't give her the ring until about a week before we got married.
Right.
Because I proposed and she couldn't wait any longer. It's like, we're getting married now. Because it's like one of those things where it's like, once you discover what you want to do the rest of your life,
yeah.
by golly, you want to do it. Well, anyway, so we were very, very serious. And everybody, and your divorce was final because that's kind of when you called and told everybody.
Mm-hmm, they all came.
And so all your friends came from Wisconsin, and for Linda.
Yeah, my friends that I kept in touch with. Yeah.
And they were all about our age and everything, and your age anyway, people you went to school with. And so they all fly down. It was two guys and a girl.
Uh-huh.
And they fly down to investigate me, and I guess, and have a good time. And see
well,
if,
Kelly didn't.
Kelly came down to see if he could strike up a new relationship with Faith. And probably Mike probably had the same thing in mind. Probably Christy, too. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't
stop.
Never know about Christy. No, I'm just kidding. So they all come down, and we went to Pioneer Days in Fort Worth. Now, if you don't know this is like a huge street dance. It's the biggest. It's like South by Southwest, if you know what that is. or Lollapalooza. It's like this. It's downtown Fort Worth. It's a street dance. There's 10 stages all going on at the same time. You just kind of wander back and forth between them. And
some other friends from work came with us, and we just started
going from place to place and dancing and checking out bands and hanging out. And we ended up in this we ended up closing that down about midnight, and then we went to this, I guess it was a bar, mm-hmm. dance place, I don't know. And it was a country and western dance place, and we went in there and started dancing, and we danced, and we shut that place down at 2 o'clock in the morning. And now we were in Fort Worth, and we lived well, first we had to go take a couple of them home.
Uh-huh. The other direction.
So it basically it was 4 o'clock in the morning before I got back to Face
Apart. We were all sleeping in the car.
And I was the only one awake in the whole car, and I was barely awake. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. That was one fun night. And then we all crashed out in the living room.
Yeah.
And I mean, it looked like Jonestown in there. just a bunch of bodies.
It was fun.
So yeah, that was a blast.
And then we went dancing after we got married. We went to Memphis. Mm-hmm.
Well, we like to dance.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the night we broke the girl's rib.
Yeah.
We went to this place called Memphis, and they were rocking that night, and we were in this booth, and at one point we were all just in this booth, and we were just having
like
a really
good
time.
Like one of those big
round
Frank Sinatra booths.
Yeah, like a big round Frank Sinatra booth, and we're all kind of shoving on each other, like to the music, I guess, mm-hmm. and we're just pushing on each other, and everybody's giggling and laughing. And, well, Tim found out the next day, one of the girls broke her rib.
Because we'd been slamming too hard, I guess. That was fun.
But she didn't tell us that night, or she wouldn't hurt. Or I mean, I don't know. She had too much to drink. She didn't feel it. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Craziness. Well, that's about the only two really good, clean stories we can tell. even those were dancing and bodies and stuff, so...
Okay.
So we don't talk or think about these. Well, at least we don't talk about these times very often.
At least with other people. Yeah.
So there you go. There's the whole story of our assorted details.
I ended up with the best. My mom said, I think that there's a good, better, and best for you, for each person. She said, and I think you found the best. She said, I know you found the best. My parents loved Brad the minute yes. they met him.
And your dad pretends your first marriage doesn't even exist.
No, he pretends it didn't even happen. It never even happened.
He talks about it like not. He was like, yeah, when you showed up, I was like, oh, I feel sorry for him, you know. He's going to go broke. I'm sure glad he's here, though, because I'm ready to get rid of her.
Because he was carrying on about me buying me a $100 coat, and he's like, you're always asking me for money. Same old thing. I'm like,
oh. So tomorrow, okay, we're going to wrap this up right now, but tomorrow we do have something special to tell you about her dad, so that tune in for that. That's going to be pretty great.
Oh, boy. Hopefully we cleared it up. Thank you for that. Was very hard for me.
We are taking no more questions on this topic. So
I was very uncomfortable.
I hope that filled in all the blanks. We got married on the beach on that lake, Lake Whitman. Two witnesses. That was it. I think we already told the rest on the Valentine's mm-hmm. Day show about that. So there you go. Subject closed. Bye, escondidas, everybody.
Two blind squares are gooder than pie.
Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 23. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under law, but under the grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of leading sin to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.